This episode is brought to you by the Ground Marketing Workshop. Is your dental practice located near a coffee shop? Maybe some apartments, schools, senior homes, corporations, small businesses, and maybe in a growing or busy community? Have you ever wondered, or maybe you've asked yourself, if only I can get the employees from these businesses to come in? Or if only I can get their members, their customers, or the residents to come to our practice? You and I both know that would immediately bring in more new patients and drastically increase your production. Well, now you can learn the exact steps to do this. Schedule a time to talk with me. Let's chat and see how we can help you not only get into these businesses in your community, but how we can attract new patients from there immediately and consistently. Click the link below in the show notes to find out more and schedule a time to chat. We'll talk soon. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Dental Marketer Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Arias, and let's jump into it. In this episode, I interview the really, really awesome guy, Dr. Femi from Wiley Dentistry Co. And such a great episode. A couple things I want you guys to look out for in this episode is the reason he wanted to do dentistry, right? Like the reason he wanted to have his own practice was because he wanted to do dentistry the way he wanted to do dentistry. And that's a reason a lot of us kind of do a startup, right? Besides the fact of like, okay, I want my own freedom and I want to spend more time, you know, with family and, you know, I just want to run things the way I want to run it and have my vision. It kind of goes back to that. Like, you wanted to do dentistry the way you want to do dentistry. Dr. Femi has been out of school for 5 years. And here's the crazy thing, what I think is like, amazing slash like, oh, you really got to want it. His wife is an allergist, right? She's a doctor as well. And his wife and him are both doing a startup. So really, really interesting. We dive much, much deeper into that, how he's handling that, how everything's going along with his personal life too, because you can think about it and you can say like, oh man, like two startups, one startup, like a lot of you guys listening might be like, one startup is enough. Like, I mean, like I might, it's enough, but it's really interesting to hear how they handle it. Really, really awesome. One thing I like that he says is he mentions, you know what? We've always been busy. Like, and if you think about it, you have always been busy too, especially as a dentist. Like, you've always been busy. You went to dental school from 8 to 5. You studied after that, right? From maybe 6 p.m. or 7 p.m. to like midnight. And then you woke up the next morning and did it all over again, right? The only difference is that, well, you've always done that grind, right? But the only difference is that now you have a lot more money hanging over your head. And so I think that's where the stress comes in. And you kind of have to step back and realize like, okay, we've done this before. We've always been on this grind. We just got to continue with it, right? I really, really like the way he makes it. He puts it into that context, right? He lets you know that, you know, you're capable of more than you think you are, but you don't know until you push yourself. And we go much, much more into depth on that aspect. Another thing I want you guys to look out for is how he is marketing. We talk about he's using Facebook, right? He's using Instagram and he's using ground marketing. And we talk about ground marketing strategies in this episode. He did say, not to toot my own horn or anything. If you're listening, you're probably like, oh, of course, Michael, you would say this. But he did say that I think it was face-to-face and face-to-face and ground marketing has been one of his top three forms of bringing in new patients. So, And so listen up how he does his ground marketing, guys, because this is like true ground marketing, the way he does it. And that's what we teach too in our workshop and in the course. Not so much the type of ground marketing, I wouldn't even call this ground marketing, where you just go drop off gift baskets and then that's it. You know, you hope they give you a call. I don't call that ground marketing. We don't teach that, right? It's more you have to have an end result. You have to make sure you are going to get results, meaning I have a name and number when I'm done talking to them, or I have a for sure thing knowing when I'm done talking to this business corporation or whatever, right? So listen to how he does that. Currently, right now, he's bringing in around 25 to 30 new patients per month. And he's doing really well, really, really well. Super humble guy. And also, make sure you listen towards the end as well, because he really breaks down for us his scripts on how to close. He has really, really good case acceptance rate, and he lets us know exactly from the moment they walk in to the moment they're passed on to the insurance coordinator after the exam. He breaks down to us the script of what he does, how he says it, what he, everything, right? So anyways, guys, without further delay, here is Dr. Femi.
Limits, I'm okay with it. You know, I think the more transparent you are, the more helpful it is for other people, especially people who are heading into their startups and stuff like that.
Yeah. Why did you want to do a startup?
I wanted to do dentistry the way I wanted to do it, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I spent enough time working under other people, working as an associate, and I just saw where the changes I kind of wanted to make. I always knew I wanted my own office. I knew an acquisition was an option, but I didn't want to, you know, hop on a cruise ship and try to turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really tough to make changes. It can be done, you know, but I felt like I wanted to just do it my way from the beginning.
When was that? When did you decide, all right, this is it, I'm going to start doing it my way?
It was actually a couple years ago. It was probably a year out of dental school. So
oh,
I've been out of school 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I was I got married as soon as I left dental school, and my wife and I went to Tennessee. I'm from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Wife and I went to Tennessee. The Memphis area, and she was doing some training. So we were kind of tied to Tennessee for the next 5 years, and I knew I didn't want to do a startup or have an office in Tennessee. I wanted to do it when I got back home.
Wow.
So that was really why.
So is Tennessee, just out of my own curiosity, is Tennessee a nice place, or?
It is. It's different. You know, Texans are Texans. So,
yeah.
You know, we there's no place like the Lone Star State to a Texan. Tennessee is nice. Nashville versus Memphis, they're very different towns. Memphis is it's okay. It's just not home. You know, it's not Dallas.
Mm.
I've been kind of spoiled. You know, I grew up in Dallas. I went to college in New Orleans. I went to dental school in Houston. So, you know, those are three big cities with a lot to offer.
Yeah.
And Memphis is a lot smaller. So I always kind of knew we weren't going to stay. We were going to be there long enough for her to do what she needed to do.
What was she doing, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, so she went to med school, and she wanted to be an allergist. So she had to do internal medicine residency and then an allergy and immunology fellowship. So she got that done, and then once she finished up, 5 years in, we were able to come back home.
And she's doing that in Texas right now?
Yes. She's doing that here, actually here in town with me, because I guess one startup wasn't enough for our household. We needed to do two.
At the same time or what? Whoa, hold on. So you both did a startup at the same – is it the same time or no? How's that coming along?
Yeah, it's the same time. It's they're both happening. I mean, we're spaced out probably by about 3 months.
Jeez, Femi. So time out really quick. How's your life coming along? Let's talk about that. Like, how's your personal life coming along right now?
My life is it's interesting. We were prepared. You know, we knew this was not the plan. Okay, let me say that. This was not always the plan.
Mm.
But it just kind of happened because she couldn't find what she was looking for as an associate position. There were some really aggressive contracts out there that we weren't comfortable with her signing. And so she was going to, you know, you've spent the last 5 years training to be an allergist, and then you come back home and you can't do what you want to do. You know, she could have always worked at internal medicine, but why did you do all that if you're not going to do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, she came to breakaway with me.
Oh.
And so, you know, you've been to Breakaway.
Yeah.
You kind of get a much better understanding as a novice to what goes on in a dental office.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
It was really easy to parallel it to an allergy practice. And so when she couldn't, there really weren't very many options out there for her that we were okay with. Hey man, let's cut and paste. You know, I'm doing a startup already. I've got the blueprint. You've been the Breakaway. You know the blueprint. And she said she was ready, and I said okay. You know, initially whenever we planned this startup, you know, she was gonna have a great income and all that, and it's gonna be leisure and everything. But that changed a little bit.
Man, so okay, let me rewind a little bit. You guys did the startup at the same time. And both of you, scale from 1 to 10, 10 being like insanely to the max, how busy are you guys right now?
No, we're really busy. I mean, I guess we got to be a 10 if 10 is the top number. But mm-hmm. the way that I look at it is that, man, we're always busy. We've always been busy. Everybody's busy. You know, like we've got two practices that we're starting at the same time. You know, we've got other jobs that we got to still make sure that we have some income coming to the house.
Mm.
But there's a lot of people, you know, people who have, they're single parents with like three kids and two full-time jobs, you know, and they make it happen. So
that's true.
You know, or we were in school, you know, we went to school from 8 to 5 and then we studied from 6 to 1 or however late you stayed up to study, and then you went to school, you did it again, you know. So the grind is what we've done. It's just that there's a lot more money hanging over our heads, but
mm-hmm.
it doesn't really, that's the mindset kind of that we've taken on. It's like, okay, well, we're just still busy, you know. You kind of thought we were going to slow down, but we're not going to slow down yet.
Yeah, no, it's going to be busier. Have you guys always, like, you, Femi, like, have you, because I know before we were talking about, before we started recording, we were talking about how you went to Panama and you were also, like you said, living in Memphis and stuff like that. Did you always grow up, I guess, like, used to this type of grind, or did you have to discipline yourself?
I definitely had to discipline myself. You know, my parents, they always wanted us to do well, to perform. But I'm the baby of 5.
Ooh.
And everybody knows the youngest kind of can get away with murder. So they weren't really, really hard on me at all. But somewhere around senior year of high school, I just kind of started wanting to do more, do better, challenge myself, push myself. And so I definitely do see that, like, you know, when I see a challenge, you know, I want to push myself and I want to see if I can get it done. You know, that can be good and bad. But I typically just believe that we're capable of more than you think you are. You just have to, you don't know until you push yourself hard enough to get there.
But then how, so, like, yeah, how do you know? How would you know that? How would you know, like, because, you know, some people are like, I got to keep pushing. But then it's kind of like, that's on the brink of madness, man. You're like, it's okay to struggle, but not to always struggle. So how do you know when it's like, all right, we need to reevaluate this?
That's a good question. So what I would say is that when you look back, most of the time you made it. You know, when you look back on whatever it is that you do or you've done that was difficult, you probably made it, you know, or it didn't work out and you found another way to get to where you wanted to go every now, or you found a new goal, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe that wasn't for me. And so, but it's not always it's like, I would change that word struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, I say it's a grind, but it's not really a struggle, you know. Like, I'm not waking up every morning upset that I'm living how I live. You know, I still hold on tight to my sanity. I go to the gym, I play golf, and
nice.
I'm like, I'm going to do these things. Like, it's harder to stop the grind and go do something fun than it is to just work yourself to death.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you got to know better that if you work yourself to death, then you're not going to last. You're going to burn out.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's true.
You know, I think that's part of it. You know, you got to, I try really, really hard to make sure that I just stop sometimes and go do something or go hang out with friends or go hang out with family or you know. So it's not, I'm not all consumed. It seems like I should be with two startups in my house, but we're not all consumed every moment of every day.
Yeah.
It's just most moments of most days, you know?
Do you ever find like sometimes, cause that's super healthy, man, to do that. Like, okay, I need to decompress, right? To let, and a lot of the times when you decompress or you're just not having your conscious mind thinking, your subconscious mind is the one that comes in and plays and gives you some creative ideas sometimes, right? So
that's true.
But do you ever feel like, let's just say you're going with friends, right? And then you start talking about your practice and then you start thinking about it. Does that happen a lot or not?
No. I'm pretty good at shutting off. Like when I think of if an idea pops in my mind, you know, I think we all have notes everywhere, whether they're in your phone or you keep an actual book. Like I've got a running notes in my phone, and if I get an idea, I just make sure I write it down so that I don't lose it. I try not to talk about my practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to be that guy who doesn't know how to talk to you about anything other than dentistry, you know.
Yeah.
So I try not to, if they ask, I'll tell, but I try not to harp on it and to dwell on it and just remember to appreciate the people you're with and the moment that you're in and enjoy it. You know, if the football game is on, then we're going to watch this game, and I'm not going to talk over the game and talk about dentistry or my practice or we're on the golf course. You don't want to hear about my numbers. You want to, you know, have a beer and make jokes and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, speaking of football, did you watch yesterday's game?
I didn't. You know, I watched a little bit of it, and I was like, this isn't that good. I'm going to keep I was actually doing some work for the office.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't think it was good either. It was Super Bowl, for the listeners wondering.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It just wasn't that good.
It was and like, we know who's going to win. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, so really quick, you mentioned are you still doing an associate somewhere else or no?
I kind of have some little gigs that I'll kind of hop in and out of. I don't have a true office, but there's like these military contracts that, you know, they'll need docs to come either do exams all day or do treatment for a weekend. And so if they need it, I'll go out there. Nearby, there's like an after hours clinic.
Oh, uh-huh.
It's a really cool concept, and they may not like me sharing it, but if somebody wants to do it, go for it. The clinic, these guys have an office, but they have an after hours clinic that's only open from 6 to midnight on weekdays. And then on weekends, they're open from like noon to midnight. So a couple of other docs, some of them have startups or whatever, who want to stay in their own practice during the week. After work, we'll go, you know, put in a shift at this clinic. Which is really awesome for me. I mean, it sounds nuts that I'm, you know, doing a day in my office and then going somewhere from 6 to midnight, but it's an emergency clinic. It's not like I'm doing hygiene or anything like that. So half the day, you know, I'm watching Netflix or I'm reading or I'm working on something, or, you know, someone walks in, two people come out, take it out, have a nice day. You know, it's not really labor intensive. It's just that, you know, somebody with a license has to be in there for it to be open.
That's a good idea.
That's what I do. Yeah. I do that so I can stay in my office and be available, because it's tough, man. You want to be available, but you also got to factor all the business things in. But there have been days that I don't have anything on schedule. Somebody walks in and they need treatment, and, you know, you make your day right then just because you were there.
Yeah, that's true. All right, man. So let's get into your business then. How much was, starting off, how much was your build out?
The build out itself was like, so it was like $200,000, something like that. Yeah.
How much?
I think it was something like
$200,000. Square feet.
I'm right under 2,000 square feet.
Okay, so then ops. How many ops do you have?
I have 5 ops.
They're all ready to go and everything, or only
a
couple?
No, one. I have 4 of them are equipped, fully equipped and ready to go. I bought 3 ops. One op I got from a guy in Memphis. actually a family of a guy who was, they needed to get rid of the equipment. And I got a call and said, "Hey, I got some stuff. Can you get it?" I said, "Sure." Got a U-Haul, loaded it up. And so that's op number four right there.
Awesome, man. That's good. What type of practice is it? Is it like a general, or is it specialist, or pediatric, or
the one that I got this stuff from?
No, the one that your practice.
My practice. My practice is general. I'm a general dentist. I try to do as much as I can do. So my thing is, you know, everybody has seen over time, patients don't like to be referred out. And so that's kind of my mindset. You know, I want to sit and do as much as I can do, you know, without sending them out. So I've been, I kind of market towards, and I'm kind of catering towards building more of an adult practice. It definitely makes sense to see kids, and I see them, but if, you know, I like to do root canals, I like to do implants. Kids don't really need those services. But yeah, we're definitely a general practice.
Got you. And then right now, how many employees do you have, and how'd you hire them?
So I have two employees, one front, one assistant. Hiring was interesting. You know, I put ads on dentalpost.net, and, you know, you got a whole bunch of resumes. Some of them look good, some of them didn't. Actually, not that many of them look that good. Most of them had like zero experience, or they had these huge gaps in their work history that kind of made me uncomfortable.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
And so, yeah, I really only interviewed three people that I liked, that I was like, okay, this will work. And then luckily two of them took the job, and they've been great.
What'd you like about them?
So, you know, you've heard it. Everybody says it. Hire for personality, train the rest.
Yeah.
That was kind of my approach.
Okay.
I was more so hiring for personality, because if you've been in enough dental offices, you'll know that culture is a killer. You know, if you have a bad apple on the team, they can drag everybody down. But at the same time, I need you to know something. You know, if you're going to be doing my billing, I need this finances collected. You know, I don't do billing. Like I've read up on it and this and that, but I need somebody with some experience as well as in the back. If we're running on a skeleton crew, I need to be able to trust you to do some things for me. You know, I need to know that you can take an X-ray properly, you can make a temporary crown. You know, you're not going to throw away all my equipment because you don't know what's disposable and what's not.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And all those things can be taught, but I personally didn't feel like that was what I wanted to spend my time doing, was teaching the basics of dentistry. And so I got them in. We started training early, mid-October. And they, you know, I learned about them. They learned about me. I kind of adjusted my approach to fit, you know, kind of like coaching. You know, when you have a good coach, that coach knows what each player needs. And so I kind of saw that, okay, this one needs this, and I think that we were able to communicate well, and they were able to really shine.
That's good, man. Where did you hire them from?
So they, one of them was working in another office nearby. The other one was working, I think she was temping at the time, and they sent their information. I invited them for an interview. We sat down at a Starbucks because the office wasn't ready yet. And you know, we just talked.
Did they find you on like Indeed or Craigslist, or how did they find
you? No, it was dentalpost.net.
Okay, cool.
Dentalpost, yeah. And that was the only one I tried. I didn't try Indeed either, or any of the other ones. I just did that.
Okay, cool. And so far right now, they're working out, right?
Oh, man, they're doing great. You know, it's been a learning curve for sure, you know, but giving them good feedback, really, really pouring into them. I think people are the most important thing. You know, everything I do has got to start with the staff. If you don't have a happy staff, you can't expect them to create a happy patient. You know, they got to like where they come to work.
I like that.
They've got to feel appreciated. They've got to feel, you know, so I try to really make sure that I empower them. I lift them up. I praise them all day long. I'm going to tell you five things you did right before I tell you what you did wrong. You know, I make sure they feel intelligent. You know, some docs I've worked for should be ashamed of themselves the way they treat staff, honestly. Because, you know, they're people. And I know that it's frustrating sometimes the way that, you know, they're on your clock or they're doing this wrong or whatever. But the truth is you have to find a way to manage the people that you have or replace them with people you can manage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And these guys, my staff has been, they've been great, you know. But like I said, I had to bend in some places too. Good example, during training, I had the scripts from Breakaway. You went to Breakaway, you know. Mm-hmm. Scott's going to talk about the phone scripts.
Yes.
He's going to nail down how important phones are. So I came in first week ready to teach these people about these phone scripts and, you know, how this works. And one of them got it fast.
Yeah.
And she was the assistant. The front desk was struggling.
Oh man,
it was awful. It was really bad. It was like, oh my goodness, why can't you get this?
What were they struggling with?
But she just, I don't know. She just couldn't get it. She just couldn't get it. But after a time, I realized she was struggling because it's not natural. One of the things that I told them both when I interviewed them, I was like, I don't want robots in my office. Like, I want your personality. I want you to be yourself, but I want you to do the things that I need you to do. And so, you know, when I looked at the scripts, I was like, well, what's important to me about these scripts? You know, you've got to address the patient by name. You've got to show empathy. You've got to show some urgency about getting this appointment done. And, you know, I picked out maybe the four little key points, and I wrote them down for her. After about the third day, she still wasn't getting these phone scripts. And I was like, look, take these five key points, and I want you to write your own script that hits these buttons, you know, that hits them. And so she took it home for the night, and she came back with a good script. You know, it did everything it needed to do. She could do it well. It sounded good. And so I was like, okay, well, I guess I don't get to use Scott's script. We're going to use Maggie's script because she can do it. And it worked. Really well. And so she's done really, really well with it. So I was like, you got to remember what your goal is. My goal is to have somebody answer the phone well. My goal is not to use Scott Luna's script. I appreciate it. But when we made that change, you know, she really was able to flourish from it, you know?
Yeah, right. Get so like that the
was
principles.
That was a good learning moment for me.
I like that, yeah. Okay, so right now, what would you say, like, let's go with last month's. Do you know last month's total production and collection? How was it?
Yeah, last month's production was just over 30, right about 30,000, a little over 30,000. But that's production before write-offs and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Collection was right under 17,000, like 16, something like that.
Okay. And you said you've been open for how long?
January was month three.
Month three. That's good. How many days are you open normally in the week?
I'm open 4 days. I'm not open on Monday, and then Tuesday through Friday we're here.
9 to 5, or like what's the hours like?
So we're here pretty much 8 to 6 on Tuesday, 8 to 5 Wednesday, 8 to 6 Thursday, and then on Friday we just go 8 to 3 straight through without taking lunch.
Gotcha. And so right now with the total production and collection, would you say like you hit goal or were above or under?
No. So first month, if you want to say I hit goal, but that's not really fair because I didn't have to pay rent that first month.
Gotcha.
Then second month, you know, you add in that and it's like, okay, well, we paid our bills, but I still have a good way to go because I haven't really defined, specifically for the team, I haven't defined, like, because I don't want them, y'all need to get the basics right before we start getting into this. You know, you need to get the principles, the core values of the office right before I want you to start looking at, you know, production or whatever. I just want to make sure that you know how to get people in, take care of them, collect our insurance. You know, make sure the system works right before it gets amped up. But so no, I think we still have a ways to go before I'm happy. You know, I'm not taking a check, so we're definitely not hitting goal until I'm getting paid.
Yeah.
And then we still have, you know, team members to add, things like that. So right now it's just like keep building.
How long would you give it until you saw, like, let's just say, okay, you're waiting for your staff and everybody to get the principles down, right? Answering the phones, collecting payments and everything. So how long would you give it until they got all that down?
Oh, I don't give it any time. You know, once we talk about something, I hold them to it. I'm never mean about it. But, you know, if we've talked about this is how we are collecting payments. So we're collecting payments either, let's say we're collecting payments before we do treatment. Then that's it. We got to do it. And if you don't do it, then we're going to talk about it. I'm not going to yell at you. Say, so what happened? Oh, well, this happened and that happened. I was like, okay, how are we going to avoid that next time? And then, you know, they'll have their, they always leave a conversation with an action point that they come up with.
Okay. So,
and I'll approve you.
Got you. So then right now you would say they have everything down pretty much, right?
They have every concept that I've introduced down. Now, that definitely doesn't mean that it's perfect. That doesn't mean that mistakes don't happen. But at least I know they understand what's expected of them. Mm-hmm. And I can see that they're trying their best. And when a mistake does happen, typically I'm like, okay, I can see how that mistake might have happened. We'll be prepared for that next time, you know?
Got you. So then, how long until you start putting the goal, like a goal then? For example, like, okay, monthly production, let's try and make it this guy's.
That's a good question. Like, I have it in my head. Like, I know it. It's in my office. It's on my computers and stuff like that. I just haven't talked to them about it yet. And I'm not sure when. Honestly, I may not do it for a while. And when I do, I may only do it with the scheduler so that she knows where. Just because, I don't know, I've been in situations where the staff starts thinking, you know, they start thinking it's all about the dollar. And I try to preach that it's not all about the dollar. It's about the process. It's about the patient will do, they will give you the money if they have bought into the process, you know. For example, we say they buy how we do and why we do, not what we do. Like, nobody's buying a filling. They know, you know, you can get a filling any dental office down the street. There's dental office all over the place. You can get a filling anywhere, but they stay with us because how we treat them, how we do our treatment, you know, we don't hurt them. They feel comfortable. They stay with us for those intangible things. And I want them to really get the value of that, which they are getting. And I think they understand. And I want them to see how, for example, like four disciplines of execution, everybody talks about. But they always talk about lead measures. So I want them to really be focused on lead measures. Like, what things do we do that cause the production to go up as a result, as a side effect?
Gotcha.
I don't want them to have the tunnel vision of we need the production. Where's the production? Where's the production? It's like, no. We need to have more great reviews. We need to have more people that we go above and beyond for, and they give us more referrals. We need to do a better job with our case, make sure our case presentation is right and get more case acceptance. And then as a result, hey, guys, look what happened. We did all those things right, and look at our production numbers.
Do you have goals for that right now or no? Like more case, or like, yeah, for example, like let's hit this many reviews by the summer, right, or referrals by this month.
Yeah, they have it on, I wish I had it in front of me. They have it on sticky notes, either like under their desk or in the sterilization room where they know what number we need to hit, and then I take them to lunch or something like that. But they do have goals, you know. So at the beginning of the day, we'll look at the schedule we'll see how many new patients we have and how many Google reviews we want to get.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have 4 new patients, then I'm like, all right, so we should get at least 2 Google reviews today. So that's ahead of the time, you know that we need to impress these people enough to make sure we get those Google reviews.
Yeah, I agree because, like, here's the thing, and I feel both ways about it, because you hear a bunch of people saying, or like there's like, you know, coaches and consultants and all these dental consultants, right? They say, like, yeah, you got to be open with your team, right? Like, let them know about, you know, this is the production, monthly production goal. We need to collect this month. But then I remember when I used to be an office manager for 2 practices, and one consultant came in and said, this is what we're making. This is how much we need to make in this, right? And I remember the front staff and the dental assistants like, what the heck? We're making this much and I'm only getting paid like minimum wage, right? And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. I'm just the marketer here. You know what I mean? And I was getting paid just commission. So I was like, I know, for real. And we all were kind of like, where is this money going? Like, what's happening here? You know? So, I mean, ever since that day, it painted a bad vibe. And I remember the assistant left the next week, and you know what I mean? It was just so, I feel both ways. I feel both ways about it. I don't know what to, like, what are your thoughts on that?
I think that you're asking a lot of somebody who makes the amount of money they make to understand that if we bring in $40,000 this month, that may not be enough. You know, they may get that in a year. And so when they hear that you're getting, you know, you're doing big boy stuff, and now we're doing 90,000 in a month, you're asking a lot for them to really grasp how that is a reasonable number and how it doesn't affect what you should be getting, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think they'll be more likely to understand it when they've been invested in the practice's growth from the beginning on things other than finances. Like my girl, this is my own specific situation. I don't know for everybody. I think they'll understand. I think they've been in dentistry long enough. They've played the role of, you know, collect, you know, front desk or insurance or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that they look around and they see this office that just got built with all the technology and all that stuff. And they're like, all right, this guy's got a lot of bills to pay. So I think they'll understand it when we get there. But I'm not ready to, you know, if I say today that my goal is $2,500 a day, which, you know, that's not that much. But
mm-hmm.
with $2,500 a day right now in month 3, or I guess we're in month 4 now, we can pay what needs to get paid and we'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I plant that seed now, when I say, all right, the goal is now $6,000 a day, they're still thinking, oh, back when it was $2,500 a day, then we were paying our bills. So he's just getting all this extra money.
Is what I think. Yeah. You might. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right, though. People think like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I don't want to introduce the goal, and then I know that I'm going to increase it substantially a little bit down the line. I would rather introduce the goal at the $6,000 a day goal or whatever number we are, and say this is where we are, and at least from there we may adjust a little bit up or down. But I think it's too early to present that small of a goal and expect them to understand when it triples.
Yeah.
That. So that's kind of my rationale.
Yeah, or like just continue to do what you do. Like, you know what I mean? Like, hey, our goal is to get this many referrals, like let's bump mm-hmm. it up, right? Because I mean, that's obviously going to trickle down to making your production and collections higher, you know.
Exactly.
Right now, how many new patients are you getting monthly?
Right now, I'm right around 25 and 30, so right about there.
And then
so we just hit number 100 last week.
Ooh.
And so that was with, you know, in our first 3 months we got to 100. So divide that up, actually, it's right around 35-ish or something like that.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. What are you doing for marketing and advertising right now?
I'm doing a lot of Facebook, a lot of Instagram. I'm doing our goal is to get personal referrals. Like, that's the mm-hmm. goal. Like, the goal is to be, we want personal word-of-mouth referrals to be our number one new patient source.
Mm-hmm.
They know that that's what we're trying to do. So a lot of our marketing is done. We're doing it in-house by making sure that we really roll out that red carpet, making sure that we ask for referrals. You know, hey, you know, whenever they say, I think it was one of the guys, I don't know. You listen to so many podcasts, I can't keep track of who said what. But you know, when somebody says something nice about you, it's an opportunity for you to take advantage. So whenever somebody says like, wow, I've never had a visit like this, then we make sure that we take that opportunity and say, well, thank you, we really appreciate it. You know, if you have any friends or family you want to send to us, it really helps us. You know, we don't try to pretend like, hey, we've got it all together, we can take it or leave it. No, we are building. It really helps us whenever you send us new patients or whenever you put this Google reviews. And when you take care of somebody really, really well and they hear that they have the opportunity to help you, I think it kind of resonates different than, you know, all of our people come from referrals, so refer us one. It's like, no, we're humble enough to ask you for your help.
You keep it real, yeah.
And I think it's good work, yeah.
I like that. So right now you're doing, where would you say most of your new patients are coming from? Would it be from Facebook, Instagram, or referrals, or do you do any ground marketing by any chance?
Oh, okay. I had a feeling you might ask me that. So right now, ground marketing, social media, and referrals are my top three, and they're all pretty close. Now, my ground marketing, I've done some ground marketing, pretty much like how you say, do it, you know, call up the gym. Hey, what's going on? I'm Michael. I'm not Michael, but, you know,
yeah.
You having a patient appreciation and we'll get in there, we'll set up our table. And we've done some like that, but a lot of other ground marketing, or what I label ground marketing in my spreadsheet when I'm tracking, is that I have, you know, I get out to meetings, chamber meetings, social events, or whatever, and I'll just talk to you, you know.
Yeah.
I'll chat you up, and I always try to keep cards on me. And the same with my staff. They have cards with their names on it. And so what they'll do if they're out and somebody sees them, they're wearing their shirt or they talk to somebody, they will, you know, they'll give them a card. They'll always write, even though their name's on the card, they'll still write their name on the back and say, hey, when you call, ask for Sarah, ask for Maggie, to tell them I sent you, and they'll make sure, you know, they make people feel more special, like you're getting that VIP service.
Yeah.
And so right now, between just face-to-face and traditional ground marketing, it's one of my top three.
That's good, man. Yeah.
One of my top three sources.
Yeah, that's good. A lot of the times when we go, like, to the Chamber of Commerce and places like that, it's good that you're doing that. Like, you go up and talk, because sometimes we get so involved in trying to give out our business cards that we don't realize that's what everybody else is doing. So what, like, mm-hmm. it's super easy to do is just take everybody else's business card, go up, talk to them, take their business card, and then say, cool, man, I can't wait to go visit you at your place of work, see what you're all about, right? And then when you go visit them at their business, yeah, you could drop off sign-up sheets, drop off more information for them and their employees, you know what I mean? It doesn't always have to be like, here, visit me soon, and then that's it, right? Like,
yeah, exactly.
You gotta be that guy who's different. So I like that. I like how you go out to the Chamber of Commerce. How long, you signed up for the Chamber of Commerce immediately when you opened, or?
Yeah, I signed up probably about a month before I opened. I go to the mixers. I try to, kind of like you said, I try to just talk to people, and it's a chamber event, so they know that you have a business.
Mm-hmm.
And this might not be the best idea, but I typically wait for them to ask what I do.
That's good.
You know, rather than going in with a full head of steam and say, hey, I'm the new dentist in town. You know, I just try to talk to you.
Perfect.
Be social, make you laugh, make you smile a little bit, and then say, hey, what do you do? Oh, well, I'm glad you asked. I have a dental office over here. You know, do you have a good dentist? And then that's it. They'll either say, yeah, I love my dentist. And if they say, yeah, I love my dentist, I'll be, you love them, stick with them. Or they'll say, no, I don't have a dentist. And I said, okay, well, I'd be glad to take care of you. And then it's been effective, you know?
Yeah.
They end up calling at some point.
Yeah, that's perfect. I would definitely, from that point on, man, if I were you, I would just get their business card and have one of your assistants or front office just go visit them. You know what I mean? Like drop off some information and then be like, hey, can I have some of your information for our office too? You know what I mean? And then leave a sign-up sheet. Like, that's perfect, man. And what people, I feel like, kind of, if you think about it, Femi, like ground marketing, a lot of it is psychology and the way you say things, right? It's not so much just like, because people think ground marketing is like going, dropping off a gift basket, and then that's it, right? You hope they give you a call. But no, it's so much of how you say things and how you tap onto the emotional side of people's brain. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Well, you know, and also you got to think about what I felt like I was trying to do with my office early on. I started trying to think, what am I selling? Like, what am I marketing? You know, mm-hmm. they say everything is marketing. Whether you know it or not, you're marketing something. So it's like, what am I trying to market? And I came to the conclusion, I'm trying to market people. Like, I'm trying to market personality. Mm-hmm. And so, like, my staff, I'm always, you'll see me posting about them, saying that, oh, they're always laughing or this, and always talking about my staff and talking about how much fun we have. Or so whenever I go meet people, that's why I don't lead with, hey, I'm a dentist.
Yeah.
I try to lead with a smile and a nice person. Like, I'm trying to get you to like me as a person, mm-hmm. and then happen to come to me as a dentist.
Got you. I like that, man. I really like that. So right now, how saturated would you say dentistry is in your community?
I'm actually in the DF. I'm in a better area for DFW. For now, you know, it's growing so fast. Dallas-Fort Worth is growing so fast. But if I compare myself to some of the neighboring, you know, bigger cities, if you know anybody listening familiar with DFW, you know, Frisco, McKinney, Plano are kind of my neighbors to the west of where I am, mm-hmm. and they are very saturated. And by comparison, I'm significantly less saturated. There's definitely still a decent ratio. There's enough patients for everybody to go around. So we're not extremely saturated. I think I was 1 to 3,700 or 3,900, which is, you know, it's not amazing, but it's not. Yeah, you know, some people are dealing with a lot tougher numbers.
Yeah, like Beverly Hills or L.A. and places like that.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly.
Mm-hmm. Got you. So right now, what would you say is like the unique thing about your practice that has your community talking about you?
Honestly, I think they're just, it's little things, you know, it's just the fact that the feel of the office when they come in, it's got a very open concept, kind of, it's very modern, I guess, compared to some of the other practices in the area.
Mm-hmm.
People are always, I mean, at some point it's going to run out, but people are just really impressed with a TV on the ceiling. I just think, you know, I kind of thought it was commonplace now, but nope, people still are really impressed with it.
Yeah.
But most of all, they just, I mean, they all, the resounding comment or what we see in the reviews is just that, no, they're really nice people in there. You know, these really nice guys. They're honest. They're genuine. They make you feel comfortable. They never make you feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what we've been hearing. Mostly feedback is, you know, nice office, really really nice people.
Right now, what would you say your treatment closing rate is?
That's a good question. I wish I don't have like dental intel or anything like that. Not yet, and I don't really have a true tracking system. Mm-hmm. You know, what we do is weekly I meet with my insurance coordinator / front desk, mm-hmm. and we go over numbers. You know, we'll go over, you know, outstanding claims, and then we'll go over what treatment plans got presented, which ones got accepted, which ones did not, and why do we think they didn't. But I don't have it on a spreadsheet. I think it's pretty good, honestly. Most of the time, you know, we try to do our case presentations, our exams, exactly the same way every single time. And most of the time, the patient will walk away ready to do whatever it is that they wanted to do. Or seldom, you know, you can get the feel from them from the chair that as soon as you meet them that they're not interested in doing any dentistry.
How? Like, how do you know that? Like, how can, like, for example, like, let's just say it's me or somebody sitting in a chair. Give me a scenario where, like, you think they're going to close and you think they're not going to close, or, like, you know, accept treatment.
Okay, so a scenario where I think they're not going to accept treatment, typically they'll say it. They'll just say, hey, I just want a cleaning, or, hey, I went to this other guy and he tried to do all this and all that, and so I want to come over here because, you know, I didn't want to try to do all that. And I still, no matter what, I'm still going to give you the exact same presentation.
Mm-hmm.
Because in my mind, I'm like, you're going to do it at some point. You may not do it now, but you're going to do it eventually, so at least let me just make sure that you have a good experience and that you plan to come back for your recall appointments, and eventually I'm going to do it. Okay. The patients who I expect are going to do treatment, actually, that's most other patients, to be honest with you. Most of the other patients, I feel like once I've gotten through my, you know, my exam, my presentation, they will just kind of, you'll get a smile, you know, you'll see them kind of crack a little bit of a smile because it's, you know, it's either more than they were expecting or something. And I'll ask them, hey, is there anything I didn't talk about that you want to talk about? Is there anything that I haven't answered? And they'll kind of smirk a little bit, like, no, I think you covered everything. And I'm like, okay, well, cool. Now it's just a matter of, can we get the financing together or not?
So when you close them, is it you the one who closes them, or is it your insurance coordinator?
My insurance coordinator goes over finances.
Ah, okay.
Only finances. Nope, nothing clinical. I don't want her getting into, well, this is going to happen at this step, and this is going to happen at this step. I want them to understand everything clinical before I leave them, and then the insurance coordinator will present their finances.
How do you run your exams then? Like, for, so during their exam, I'm assuming that you're kind of like at the same time asking questions that feel them out. You know what I mean? Like, where you're like, okay, let's see if you're ready. You know what I mean?
Kind of, sort of. So, you know, case acceptance, like we said, they're accepting the how and the why. They're not really accepting the treatment. They may or may not understand dentistry or whatever, but they probably assume they can get this treatment anywhere at any dentist.
Mm-hmm.
So, case acceptance starts as soon as they walk in the door, you know, with that new patient experience, that big smile, stand up, greet them, give them the tour, take them to the back. So, but as far as my exam and my case presentation, mm-hmm. I start by a super important thing that, you know, easily can be overlooked. I read their forms, you know, okay. I read their forms. It's always calculated. You know, you can't, I read the dental history, the medical history that they filled out. And when I come into the room, unless you said no on every single thing, and even if you did, I'm going to sit down with them. You know, my assistant has already kind of chatted with them. She sent me something on Yappy that says chief complaint is she wants wider teeth, or chief complaint is she wants to replace missing teeth, something. So I'll kind of recap and say, okay, Mr. Arias, this is what my assistant has told me about, that you've been having this issue over here, this and that. I noticed on your forms that you said you're allergic to this and this. So what you've done already, which it's going to be a challenge when we get busier, but right now I got time. Mm-hmm. So what you've done already is established that I took the time to read what you wrote down, because they don't expect that. You know, they don't expect you to, they just fill that form out. And then, so I don't think that most people think you really read it. They're like, what? I just filled that out a minute ago. When did you read it?
That's true.
So I take the time to acknowledge that I've read what you said, and I'm paying attention to what it is that you want, because a lot of complaints that patients have is that this doctor didn't, they just wanted to do all this treatment, and all I wanted was whitening, or all I wanted was insert things. So establish that I understand what you want, and it's important to me that I get it to you. Got it. Check.
Go ahead. Oh, no. Continue, because I'll ask after.
Okay, so I do that, and then I ask them, did I get your history right? Yes. Is there anything I missed? No. Okay. So then I'm going to tell you, all right, well, if it's okay with you, Miss Sarah and I, that's my assistant, we're going to do your exam. We're going to check everything out. We're going to check your gums. We're going to check your teeth. We're going to check everything going on. We're going to document, get a baseline established, and then I'm going to talk to you about my suggestions. I always say suggestions. Like, I'm not telling you what you have to do. This is what I'm suggesting. So then, you know, I said, okay, is it okay if I lean you back? I'll lean them back. Now, once we start the exam, the exam is marketing. You know, I'm going to do an extremely thorough exam. I'm not going to take that much time. But while I do the exam, in my mind, you know, I recognize, and some other docs in our generation probably recognize, I know some of the some lady dentists too. If you look young, I know some people out there understand. If you look young, sometimes the people almost want to challenge your credibility.
Yeah, intellectual,
your experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So as soon as I lean them back and I say, Ms. Sarah and I are going to be talking, you can just block us out. I don't give them any headphones because we have headphones for TVs, but I don't give you any headphones during the exam. Then I use every piece of dental terminology I know. And I start saying things that are going to confuse you. You're going to be like, what are these guys talking about? I go into extreme detail. I'll pull out, if you've got like incisal wear or something like that, I'll pull out a ruler and I'll measure, you know, and yeah. I'll start throwing, you know, 2 millimeter shift here, this and that. I'm just going off. My assistant is just typing and whatever.
Uh-huh.
And so I'll say in plain English a couple of key words, like, you know, 3 millimeters here with decay, you know, and I'll just like say a couple of key words in there. Mm-hmm. You know, 40% tooth loss, number 8-9, the two front teeth, and da da da. You know, I'm saying a couple of things that you're going to recognize and a bunch of stuff you're not going to recognize.
Okay, okay.
Then when I finished all that, in my mind, I'm establishing some credibility. They're like, these guys know what they're talking about. They're talking about something.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm going to sit you up and say, okay, well, let's talk about what's going on, and I'm going to give you it in the most plain Jane English possible. Like, I'm going to make sure that anybody understands. I'm not going to use any terminology. I'm not going to confuse you at all. I'm going to talk about things very, very simply so that you understand and kind of get some ownership. You know, I'm using pictures, I'm using x-rays and all that, but you're not going to forget that just a minute ago, they were talking about some things that I've never heard about. So they know what they're talking about, but they're also making me understand.
Mm-hmm.
And so after that, then I've finished with my suggestions. I asked, so what do you think? Is that kind of what you had in mind? Most of the time they say yes. And I'm sure you didn't have some of this stuff in mind, but folks are like, yeah, that's pretty much what I was thinking. You know, I thought I was going to need 2 implants over here.
Well, how?
Okay, well, great.
Okay. And then from that point on, you leave, and then the front office, the insurance coordinator takes over, or what happens then?
So typically, if this is a new patient exam, mm-hmm. and they don't have perio, then I tell them, all right, so, you know, our insurance coordinator, she's going to get on the line with your insurance company and make sure that they're going to cover you as much as possible. And so then, you know, Yappy will send her a message and she'll be working on the treatment plan, and I'll start her cleaning. You know, I'll do the cleaning, finish the cleaning, you know, give you your great experience. Then you had your headphones, you get your hot towel on your face. They love, if you're doing a startup, you need to have hot towels. They love it. They love that hot towel. I thought it was silly at first, but they really, really do love it.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
You know, you get that great experience and then you go see the insurance coordinator after your cleaning. So I do the treatment plan first, then do the cleaning, and then she's ready for them afterwards.
Wow.
And most of the time they say, all right, let's do it.
Okay, that's good. And then the payment options you provide are?
Right now, I only provide care credit and compassionate finance.
Okay, how are you liking both of them?
Right now I like them both. Everybody has, you know, the knock on care credit is that it's hard to get approved and they take a big chunk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the knock on compassionate is that you're not guaranteed and you don't get all your money right away.
Yeah.
So you got to be strategic about it. You know, if they can do care credit, by all means, you can do it. I'll take the 10% hit right now because, you know, we just need income right now. Eventually, we may think twice about that. But like with the compassionate, we try to be very strategic about it. I'm not going to let you just finance a $30,000 case on compassionate and you've got bad credit, you know. Mm-hmm. But if you've got fillings, you know, 2-3 quads of fillings, and you've got $2,000 worth of insurance that pays 80%, and you want to finance, you know, your part over 6 months, by all means, have at it. You know, yeah. Because as a startup, that 80%, that's going to help you pay payroll. That's going to help you keep the lights on and all that kind of stuff like that. And it's mm-hmm. better. It's better, as, in my opinion, it's better as a startup to get that money, and then also, you know, get the treatment done versus having them walk away.
Yeah, that's good, man. I love the fact that we literally went through your whole exam. I don't think I've ever asked anybody, like, we never ran through that with anybody on here, but that was really good, man. That was really, really good.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
Appreciate it. So right now, last question then. What's been, so far, up to date, what's been your biggest pitfall?
That's a good question. I wasn't ready for that one. Biggest pitfall would just be not having, you know, it's hard. You're not going to have everything when you start. Like, you're just not going to have everything that you need physically in the office. And you're going to keep on finding out, oh, I need this. Oh, I need this. Oh, I need this. I think that's probably been my most frustrating part. I don't know of a bigger pitfall. Oh, you know what? I know what my biggest pitfall was. Uh-huh. My biggest pitfall so far was I used a company to do mailers whenever we were kind of rolling out our opening. And, you know, I had done all the research. I know how low the conversion rate is with mailers and all of these things, but I just needed to do it. And the company put a tracking number. You know how they put the tracking number on the mailer so they can see? The tracking number wasn't functional. So it didn't ring through. And so we found out about 3 weeks in, sitting here in silence in our office for the most part, that the tracking number wasn't working, and we had missed 37 calls.
What? Wait, why was it not working?
Because I had a phone tree, and the tracking number would have worked traditionally, but initially when I started, I had an answering service for when I wasn't in the office, and so there was just, it was being routed to too many different places before it got to the office, and it can be done, but the company that I used, I guess, either didn't do it right, or for whatever reason, it just, whenever you would dial the number that was on that mailer, it would just kind of, it would kind of ring like twice and then cut off.
Man, I would have been so mad.
I was furious. I was really upset. That was a bad day. And so we got the list of all the calls we missed. At this point, a lot of these calls are 2 weeks old. Mm. And so that was what was really hurtful, was calling these patients back, and you got to sit there and take it. Like, if they go off on you, like, at least two people were like, how are you going to be a new office and you don't even know your own phone number? And, you know, they were upset. Wow. And you have to take it. You have to take it and just say how sorry you are and how you can't, you don't want to blame it on somebody and say, oh, the mailer company. No. Take ownership and just say that I'm sorry and this and that. And we just have to take it. And we didn't get, I think one of those 30 something, we got to actually come in. But that was a rough day, a rough week, really.
Would you ever do mailers again?
I will do, I'm going to do EDDM. I'm going to try it out, because I think you need to have a big sample size to be able to honestly evaluate anything. Mm-hmm. But most of the pitfalls that I think I've come across, the mailers, my consultant I wasn't particularly happy with, have been me not stepping up and handling things. Like, if you don't have control, like, you can't have complete control of everything, but you need to have enough control of everything. Mm-hmm. Like, I need to have enough control of knowing whether or not this phone number works versus just paying somebody and expecting they're going to do a good job because I paid them. Mm-hmm. And so that's been the lesson that I've learned. But yeah, I'm gonna try EDDM. I have a much more creative ad on the mailer itself. I thought the mailer that they put together for me, I did approve it, so I can't blame them. was very bland and basic. But we have a much more creative ad, more interesting. You know, give them a reason to actually keep it and read it and hold it or laugh or whatever.
That's good, man.
So I'm gonna try it out. Try it out and test it. You know, things aren't gonna work. So whoever's doing a startup, things aren't always gonna work, but that's okay. You know, just learn, track, and educate yourself. Try not to make decisions out of fear. That's almost always a bad decision. The fear is okay. You should be afraid, but like whenever you found yourself, the times that I can look back and I spent money out of fear, I got burned. But you know, the answer to fear is always knowledge. It's not money. So if you are going to spend some money on something because you're scared and you think someone's going to bail you out, you should probably step back and educate yourself a little bit more on whatever that topic is, because you're vulnerable if you're with somebody, you know?
Yeah, that's true, man. That speaks to me. I'm listening and I'm like, dang, I know I need to. I don't know what it is, man. I guess growing up from like poverty or something, you're always just like, ooh, my dollar, it's going away. No, you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's okay. You know, that's fine. It's okay to be scared. I think it's normal to be scared. It's okay to be worried about where the next dollar is. But don't let that fear drive your decision. You know, base your decision on something that you've learned from a credible source. You know, that's what I think I've learned, and I've tried to really embody since I've made these mistakes, and I'll make some more. But since then, I've noticed things better. Like, I'm doing better with things. Like, I did the call center. Like, I mentioned the call center because I was afraid that we might not convert well enough, or if it's after hours and it comes to my cell phone, then I might not be able to convert and maybe it'd be better. But, you know, that was fear. And then over time, I realized, I got this. I convert better than anybody else.
I should start my own call center.
Yeah. I mean, they come to my cell phone like now, because it's like, why am I paying this bill? I'm paying this bill for because I thought I needed to. But then I realized after I answered a couple phone calls, people love talking to the doctor. Like, yeah. Wait, this is the doctor? Yeah, this is me. Hey, what's going on? What, you know, and they love it. They're going to show up to their appointment because they talk to me, you know, and So
that's
true. I do it myself now.
That's good, man. All righty, Femi. Thank you so much for being with us. It was a pleasure. But before we say goodbye, tell our listeners where they can find you.
You can find me. Thanks for having me, by the way. You can find me on Facebook. I'm in all the groups with everybody else. I'm in the ground marketing group. I'm in the making of a dental startup. I'm on Instagram, Wiley Dentistry Co. That's WYLIE Dentistry CO. And that's, you know, that's where to find me.
Awesome.
Facebook and Instagram are the fastest way to get a hold of me.
Awesome. All righty. Femi, thank you so much for being with us. It was a pleasure, and we'll hear from you soon.
Thank you.
All right, guys. I hope you super duper enjoyed that episode. I know I really enjoyed talking to Femi. I love his positive attitude and how real he is. He is very transparent. So guys, do me a favor, go on to Facebook or Instagram or whatever platform that's your favorite. Go search him up and let him know, hey man, thank you so much for being on the Dental Marketer podcast. If you want, ask him questions or concerns, right, that you have about your startup or your practice, right? Maybe you want to pick his brain a little bit more on some of these aspects. Let me know your guys' takeaway on this episode. I'm going to mention a couple of mine, right? So a couple of my takeaways from this. At the beginning, he talks about how you have to be in the office as much as you can because people walk in, and that's true. Phones ring, people walk in, so you want to be in the office as much as you can. And I know sometimes when we're starting a practice, you're kind of like, oh, I can only be open 2 or 3 times a day, right? So what's the game plan then? Think of a game plan, guys. Maybe you can have someone answering the phones, but maybe that might be too expensive answering the phones at that time, right? or maybe you can have a call service. So it's smart to think of a game plan. If you can, you know, you want to be in the office as much as you can. I like that. One thing that I really want to like make into a quote, and just I'll probably post it up on Instagram, is how he says, if you don't have a happy staff, you can't expect them to make a happy patient. And man, that's true. We all know when there's like that C player in the office, right? They just suck the fun and everything out of the office, and patients feel that. And you need to make sure your staff feels happy, right? Encouraged and intelligent and more. You don't want to like always undermine them. You don't want to micromanage your staff, right? You literally brought them on so they can bring your practice up, right? Upgrade your practice. Remember that. I also like the part where he talks about phone scripts, right? How when we went to Breakaway, when he went to Breakaway, you know, Scott Luna does provide scripts, and his assistant was struggling with the phone scripts because it wasn't natural, right? And that happens a lot. Sometimes we are given scripts and we try to read it and it just doesn't work out, right? It's not our the way we roll, our tone of voice or whatever, right? So what Femi do? He said he found the key points on the scripts, like the principles of it, right? Like, okay, we got to make sure you say this, you got to make sure you say that at least, and told her to take the script home and make it their own. And but it has to have the key points in it, right? And the assistant did that, and you know, bada bing, bada boom. Like after that, it worked. And this is another, he made so many quotes. Like I can make a bunch of quotes out of this interview. Another thing he said, a part of this with the phone script is the goal is to not read a script. The goal is to get good at answering phones. And that's true. Like you can read scripts and you can suck at answering phones, but you got to make it your own, make it sound natural, pivot and adjust whenever you need to. And yeah, just make sure it has those principles or those key points that you know will lead to the end result that you want. Another thing, a discussion, I want to know your guys' opinion on this is, what do you guys think about how open you should be with your team when it comes to how much you're bringing into your practice? Do you think the team, everybody should know all the numbers? Who should know all the numbers? What are your thoughts? What are your guys' experience? That's something I really, really want to know. Because yeah, we discussed it, and let me know if you agree with what we said or what have you heard. Another thing, like I said, I hope you guys took notes on the ground marketing, because that is super important how he does it, right? You want to go and don't be like everybody else at these Chamber of Commerce meetings. Don't be in there trying to shove your business cards and your flyers and let everybody know, I'm a dentist, right? And then try and get a bunch of people who will magically say like, oh my gosh, thank you, I need a dentist, because they've never had a dentist in the Chamber of Commerce, right? I'm pretty sure there's a lot. But you got to go in there expressing interest in other people's business first, right? And if it comes up, it comes up. But if not, at least you have their information and you can always go by their place of business maybe in a week or two and drop off some goodies, right? And a sign-up sheet. And then at the same time, you can get people signing up more than in the Chamber of Commerce meeting. You'll have people's employees when you go to their place of business and you can get them to sign up and so forth. So definitely do that strategy better, right? Do that much, that will provide you much, much better results than signing up for the Chamber of Commerce, going to meetings and saying like, okay, people, I've given my business cards to people, but like only one or two has come in. I just got to keep selling. No, don't do that, right? Listen to what Femi said. And a lot of this, guys, we teach in our ground marketing workshop. We give you the outline, the templates and everything. We run through it. We role play with you guys. We tell you, okay, like, look, you want to get this many business cards today at this meeting. This is how you're going to do it. Once you have it, then after that, you're able to go back to their location or their place of work and, you know, provide better, I guess, like, how do you say it? Not customer service, but you're able to get more when you go to their place of work as well. Instead of just trying to get the owner to come in, you can actually get the owner and their employees to come in, right? And that's just one small little tactic that we teach in the world of our ground marketing workshop. Another thing I like that he says is you have to be humble enough to ask for help, right? You can't do a startup and when your patients, you can't say like, look, I'm glad you liked our service. You know, we're packed all the time. So make sure you give us, if you have a referral, make sure they schedule immediately, because it could be gone tomorrow, right? Like, don't be like that. Be humble enough to ask, like, oh, I'm so happy. Like, we're assuming, like, your patient said, oh, thank you guys so much. I love your office and all these things. I love what you do. Just say, like, you know, oh, I'm so happy you enjoy that. Please be sure we're trying to grow. You know, we're starting up. And let them know. Be open with them. Like, referrals go a long way for us. Please, if you have anybody in mind, any family, friends, husband, wife, or anything like that, let them know. And reviews, right? You can ask them the same way with reviews. So I really like that. I also like the fact of how we broke down the whole script of how he does exams. And it was amazing. I mean, I feel like I can go on and on and just talk about that and make my own episode on that. Because it's really good. It's really, really impressive how he really broke down the whole script on not just accepting treatment, but on how he does the exam. I thought it was really interesting how, for example, people kind of see, and you guys may, some of you listening may relate to this, like, okay, he looks young. Does he know what he's doing, right? So they challenge your credibility, like he says. So how did he combat that, right? He flexed his knowledge, right? He said, okay, let me show you what I know. And then it gives us like a sense of relief, like, oh, okay, well, he's into this. He knows what he's doing. Got it. And at the same time, you yourself as a doctor need to be confident. Let me know, guys, if you have ever bumped into that. Let me know on Instagram. You can DM me or anything, and let me know if you've ever bumped into that and said, like, oh, man, yeah, we get that a lot. Like, oh, they think we're so young, and maybe that might be an issue. Who knows? So, but you guys need to be confident, like he said. So those were my takeaways. Let me know your takeaways. Feel free to message me on Facebook under The Dental Marketer. Don't forget to like the Facebook page as well under The Dental Marketer. Or you can just follow me, guys, on Instagram. I'm a lot more active on Instagram. Actually, I'm active on both. Forget that. Forget I said that. I'm on Instagram. You can follow me as well under The Dental Marketer. And if, guys, if you like what you're hearing, please do me a favor and share this episode or leave a 5-star review on iTunes. It helps me out a ton. And yeah, guys, thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll talk to you soon.